Well, that just flew away, didn't it? Don't you love it when the scripture just flies off right off the podium to you? Thank you, sir. Thank you. Brother Matt had already read a few of those verses that says that you guys, us, we're going to shine as stars. How are we going to shine as stars? In the darkness of the world, we were called to shine as stars. The pastor already kind of told you a little bit about something overturned, 50 years it took. But God does things. Friends, we don't need to push that forward. We need to push Christ forward. And let's not get militant with that. Let's just say God worked it out. And he'll take care of it. He's in control anyway. Paul was talking to the Philippians in our passage today about the generation being in a warped world. You know what warped means? From down in eastern Kentucky where I come from, warped means you're out of balance. You know, you ever had a warp on your car? Warp, 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 warp. It'll wear out everything. And if you're warped out, you're wearing out your family. You're wearing out all of the stuff. Let's read, starting with verse 16, the rest of that passage through 18. You will shine as you hold on to the word of life. And then I'll be able to boast about you on the day that Christ returns. I can be happy that I didn't run or work for nothing, but my life might be poured out like a drink offering on your sacrifice. I'm talking about the way you serve because you believe. Even so, I'm glad. I am joyful with all of you. So you too should be glad and joyful with me. Father God, we ask you, we've read your word, that we will come together all around the world, everywhere. And Father, in the reports that we've heard of the news events, Father, we pray for each of those folks. But Father, we ask your scripture now that we have read to sprout in our lives. Through Jesus our Lord, we pray. Your pastor has had a series which I find very intriguing. This is Us. He's talked about control and submission and what that means in today's world. And divorce and remarriage, the warpness of all of that. He talked about the power of self-control, the spiritual gift of self-control. Over the last weeks, he's talked about the biblical families. We are to be children of the light. And if we're children of the light, then when we go to the dark world, we are to be stars in the midst of all of that light. Jesse came and he talked about this is us by the way we parent. Now, I want Jesse to speak on that subject 25 years from now, okay? Parenting. This is us. It's us. Last week, Pastor Steve talked about the responsibility, guys, as us. Have you read some of the psychologicals on those folks who have committed these horrendous shootings? You'll find, as you look at them, that the fathers were not involved. Guys, it's our responsibility. That's what Pastor Steve said. This is us. We are responsible for that kind of stuff as our gender by not being in the lives of these terrorists. And that's what they were. But today, I want to conclude this series. Pastor Steve's going to be moving on to something else. But I shared with him that the key word today is identity. In other words, who do you identify with? So, first of all, I want everybody to kind of get on the same page. Now, you've got to put your thinking caps on. I was a preschool director for the last 6 years at our church because the director left. Can you imagine a pastor, 60 years old, being a preschool director for 6 years? I ain't going to hell, I'll tell you that. Already been there. So, put your thinking caps on, everybody. Pick a number. And I'll do this. This is a mental exercise. Pick a number between 1 and 10. You got that number? Hold it in your mind. Got it? Double that number. In other words, take it times 2. Anything odd, if you picked an odd number, it's going to be even. That's just the way things are. You got that number? I can make it easy. Add 10 to it. You got 10? Okay, you got that number? Now, I want you to divide it. Take half of that. Now, I want you to take away your original number. Okay. Everybody should end up with 5. Okay. Now, we're on the same page, aren't we? We take away of all of our stuff, we're going to get at least half of much that God's added to us. Okay, so now we're on the same page. So, as I was preparing for this sermon, I got a picture of that truck I saw. I took a picture of a truck a few years back. Can you enlarge that? Look at that. It says, not subject to the Department of Transportation regulations. This truck identifies as a Prius. I mean, go figure. Did that take away the DOT rules? Not at all. That truck driver just thought that he was the smallest little car on the road, didn't he? Just because we choose who we identify with doesn't make us that. All righty? See, when we identify, we go to a smaller group in most cases. But the church is a little different. The Bible says that we are to identify as what? As a believer. And when we are identified as a believer together, when we're all on the same page, when we all have the same thing, and we have the DOT, the Department of Transportation rules right here, I mean, we get transported. We got to identify with that, and that's going to last forever. All of this other identification stuff is going to pass away. But the Bible says that we will live forever. I'd like to identify with that, wouldn't you? The world says that we do not embrace diversity. Let me tell you, my God embraces diversity. Here's the reason I say that. Not one of you have the same fingerprints. Not one of you have the same eye. You know, they identify now with your eyes. My optometrist was telling me that we only see 3 colors. You know what those 3 colors are? Blue, green, and red. Those are the colors that God made the whole world out of, didn't he? All the skies are blue. All the earths are green when they're producing. And thank God for the redness. We sang about that, didn't we? The cross, his blood, makes everything perfect. So he put in all of us a little different iris that allows us to be different and diverse. Even identical twins do not have the same fingerprint. Whoa. I think he embraced diversity, don't you? He made every one of us different for a specific reason. He knows that reason. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to tell you about it. He wants you to know. Now, how in the world are we going to get those directions? How are we going to get those right directions? Well, Jesus told us pretty much. He said, when you identify with me, I want you to understand that when you come together, that this should be a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. Not a place where all the identity is different. When we all come together, we become a house of prayer, Jesus said. However, the world today, they are bombarded by a 4-letter word, and that's fear. The world has more fear than faith. We're spending more time to fortify our schools than to teach our children to love one another. Would I get a witness on that? Huh? Isn't that crazy? And I think that we need to identify and understand what the us in this is us. Now, Pastor, I don't know. I'm probably taking a little liberty here. But Look at the next slide there on what we are, the us in us. He said, we have the identity, but we are us. Now, what is that next slide, please? United, we, what do you think that would be? Exactly, serve. That's what us is. That's what you've been talking about the whole 8 weeks here, about united to serve. And the best way we can serve is through our prayer life. We need to look at it. When we find our identity in Christ, we will understand that that prayer is the matrix of everything that happens. Now, Pastor Steve shared a little bit that I'm a trained therapist, had for 20 years an office in Middletown called Right Directions. My daughter assumed that and has an office in Shelbyville now. We work personally one-on-one with individuals. And over the last 40 years now, I guess, I've been given four words to people that becomes the, do y'all know what shaker pegs are? You know what shaker pegs are? The Shakers, we had two communities in Kentucky. My dad lived very close, or pastored very close to one in Harrodsburg when I was a kid. And that Shaker Village that's there now, I used to sneak over there and go into the basement and walk through all those Shaker buildings. Now, that's a long time ago. But they had these pegs in the wall all the way around in every room. They called Shaker pegs. Little pegs that they would hang their furniture up on. They had straight back chairs. They'd hang them up so they could clean the floor. And I thought, even as a youngster, that's a good way to organize things, isn't it? To have shaker pegs. So I've got four shaker pegs for you today. I would do the dance, the shaker dance, but I'm just going to share the steps with you. You know, one, two, three, four, one. Then you shake. No. Four words. If you get nothing else this morning, I want you to get these four words. First of all, the matrix of thing. What's the right thing to do? That's one word. Second word, the way. Thing, way, time, and reason. And Paul uses this matrix over and over in the gospel. And if you would take those four words and you'll overlay each one of his accounts, if you'll look at the accounts of Jesus and how he handled things in life, you will find those four words all the time. All through the Old Testament, you will find that the things happen. They happened in a certain way. They happened at a certain time and the reason. So we have to do the right thing, the right way, at the right time, for the right reason. Now that's how Paul started this passage off, this little passage that we read. He starts off first by saying, you've been good. Isn't it great to start off with a compliment? If you're a good parent, you always say to your child, now you did something good, but. He says a compliment. What's the compliment? Brother Matt read it. He said, you've done the good things already. Even when I wasn't here, you did the right things. You obeyed. And when I was here, you obeyed. And in that obedience, I am joyful. I am happy. It makes me feel good. In verse 12, it reads, if it's good, it's God who is working in you. Look at that. I always obeyed. Do it with fear and trembling. Do the right thing. Do it. What thing? Whatever thing you're doing, make sure it's right before you ever step out and do it. If you think at all that it's wrong, don't do the thing. People that come to counsel with me over the years, we probably trace it back to the very thing that they did, and they found out they knew that it was wrong before they did it. So it's the thing. What things? Are you praying those things through before you ever do them? Or do you just operate on random? Will you operate on random? You're going to get in a lot of trouble. You probably already know that. The things that you just, I don't know, I just did it. You didn't think about it. The Bible says that you can do all things through Christ who does what? What does he do? Give you the strength to do it. He gives you the ability to think that thing through first before you ever do it. Hold on to it for a moment. Ponder it for a moment. Take time before you do it. Before you act on it, ask God about it. God, is this the thing you want me to do? For years, I used to pray as a young pastor. God, just help me. Lord, just help me. And when I realized that I was praying the wrong thing, the Lord gave me the right thing. I started praying, Lord, how can I serve you? And when I started praying, Lord, how can I serve you? Guess what? He took care of the first one. And he will for you too. He'll help you through that thing if you're serving him, because your life brings glory to him. He said he will give you the strength. He'll give you the knowledge in order to operate on those things. Look at the other thing he says. All good and perfect gift comes from the Father who is where? Come on. Above. Exactly. He's above you. That means he can see a lot farther ahead of you. He already can see behind you because he already knows that. You know it. But he can give you the right thing because he's above you. So stop for a moment before you do anything and check. Is that the right thing to do? The Bible also says that no one is good on ourselves. Only God is good. He's above us. He's good. And before you do anything, friends, anything, I mean buy a car, buy a tractor, whatever you do, even before you mow your lawn, oh, that's the right thing to do. Just say, Lord, give me the wisdom to be safe. Have you ever prayed for wisdom just for the little things you do? Because when it's over, then you can say, thank you, Lord, for helping that thing. And I trust that it brings glory to you. So when you identify with Christ, he says, do the right thing. Second thing, he says, you got to do it the right way. Well, that's pretty important, isn't it? He says in verse 13, do it for the purpose, for his good purpose, for the purpose of the unity that we have, the identity that we have in Christ. We are to do it the right way. See, God identified you before you were ever born. Before you were ever born, he identified who you were. Matter of fact, he knew, Bible says in Psalms, the number of hairs on your head. Now, mine are loosening. You know, I don't care what color it turns as long as it don't turn loose, you know. He knows that. He knows everything there is to know about us. And he identified us before the world was ever created, before he spoke it into being. He knew you, and he knew you right where you are. It makes you pretty special, don't it? I used to tell my preschoolers, God made you very special. That kind of backfired when they said that to their parents. You better not do that to me, because Brother Ray said, I'm special. We're all special in the sight of God. Now, how did Jesus call his disciples? He walked along the Sea of Galilee, along the roads, into the markets. And what did he say? Come follow me. Yes, sister. Follow me. Now, we don't have a record of those that said no, do we? They didn't make it into the annals of biblical history at all. But the ones that says, sure enough, I'll follow you. I'll identify with you. Their lives are living on in the people that they ministered to. How incredible is that? God called every one of us to be ministers. He wanted us to prepare our fields, the fields that we have, our lives. But sometimes we forget to plant the seed in it. Isn't that incredible? That you prepare a field, you work all the time, and then you can't find the seed. Jesus says, come along, follow in my way. He was that one. He was at the right time. And then he said, one of the ways in which you have to do them is without grumbling and arguing. No grumbling and can I put it in the vernacular? Down in Eastern Kentucky, kind of where I grew up as a child, it was called fussing and cussing. All right? If the way is to fuss and cuss, to debate it, to go over and over, it's not the right way. Jesus wasn't all about that at all. He says that if you're playing on the blame and shame game, you're not on the board of life. You throw the dice if you're on the blame and shame, because that's Satan's game. I want you to identify that when you start hearing people talk and they're blaming this and blaming that and shaming this and shaming that, that is Satan's game. Our game of life that God gave us through his word is for us to take care of our stuff. We're not to be judges. That's God's job. Anybody that starts judging, I have problems with them. They're taking away God's job. And I think he might get a little upset about that. He'll just say, he's going to ignore you. We're not here to judge. I know people says you're fruit inspectors. Well, just make sure you don't eat any rotten fruit. That's what it is. You don't participate. You don't identify with those things that's got rottenness in their lives. That you're not blaming and shaming. James 4:7 says, resist the devil. Recognize who the devil is. Know his way, and he'll leave. Here's another little thing that I've dealt with. People come into the office over the years, and they've said, well, I just told Satan to get off my back. And I go, is that right? Always say to think people, you know, is that right? Because, you know, I'm trying to expose the truth. And you know, people that are telling you a lie, if you just say, well, is that right? Is that the truth? Man, their lines are going to get bigger. And it's going to expose it. All you're saying is that the truth. When you say that Satan, that you talk to Satan, guess who you're not talking to? Huh? The Lord. God. You're spending time talking to Satan, and you know what he says? Oh, Brother Steve, I'm standing right over here. I respect your identity there, but I'm always here. I'm always here. Be careful when you say that. You go to the Father in heaven through Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm feeling that they're leading me the wrong way. If it's Satan, Lord, take him off my back. Let him do it. That's his job. He did it. He defeated him before his ministry ever started, didn't he? Satan was there tempting him for a new way, a new power. And he said, with scripture, leave me alone. Resist Satan. That's the way to do it. So if you do the right thing, the right way, what's the third one? Help me. Time. Exactly. Do it at the right time. I've done the right thing the right way at the wrong time. Have you all ever done that? If you shake your head this way, is that the truth? No, you've done the right thing the right way at the wrong time. Who has all time? Who's above time? God's above time. The children of God are to wait so that we will not be found blameless. Look at that verse 15. That we are to be pure children of God. Not in this warped, out of balance, crooked generation, this perverted generation that we're living in. Some passages read. We are to do that without fault. And we are to do the right thing the right way at the right time. And we are to do it for the right reason. Now, what's that reason? What's the reason? For the glory of God. Exactly, sister. For the glory of God. We are to do the right thing the right way for the glory of God. We are to hold firm to these texts about eternal life. And when we do the right thing the right way at the right time for the right reason, oh my goodness, and we hold fast to the word, our work, our labor will not be in vain. Let me tell you a little story. I have a garden, and I enjoy the garden. And we enjoy the vegetables, and we enjoy sharing them. My congregation used to say, are the tomatoes ready yet? Are the tomatoes ready yet? We planted 3 acres of tomatoes a couple of years ago. I never wanted any tomatoes the rest of my life. But my church folks sure did. We'd bring bushels of them. People would come to church just to get tomatoes. No, not really. After service, we'd just pass them out. Well, this year, I planted some beans, green beans. Everybody like green beans? Raise your hand. Okay, good. And I planted them, and they didn't come up. And I was like, it's them molds again. They got in over there and ate all the seed. There was just a plant here or there that popped out of the ground. I said, there is something wrong with them green beans. I even blamed my neighbor. She's got goats and sheep, and they don't stay. You know, goats and sheep are wanderers everywhere. I mean, they've done eating all our flowers off of us. But I blamed the sheep for eating my goats. So I labored in vain, I thought. So I got out and I redug the holes, and I went to the seed package, and I looked at the seed. It was 2015 was the last time they were germinated. It wasn't nobody else's fault but mine, because I didn't look at the date on the package of the seed. I just picked them up. I thought they were the freshest ones. Some of you have got some seed in your ground that hadn't germinated yet, because you haven't done the right thing the right way at the right time for the right reason. You haven't sprouted out yet. But I'm telling you what, God is working at you. He is hoeing your row out right now in life, and you're about to sprout like you never sprouted before, because you're doing the right thing the right way at the right time for the right reason. And when you do it for the right reason, God will bless that, friends. Well, my beans are almost blooming. I can't wait. I'll have a couple of weeks off, but that's okay. It was in the right time. I learned a lesson about it. Check the germination date. What's your germination date? You know, Pastor Steve, a lot of Baptists, we think that we were united to sit. You know what happens if you don't stir the pot when you're cooking the stew? Yeah, you burn it on the bottom. We got enough of burnt Baptist bottoms. All righty? Pastor Steve comes up here every Sunday and he stirs the pots. He wants you to bring forth fruit. He wants you to sprout out for the right reason, for the glory of God. Paul says in verse 17 that he wants his life to be poured out on your sacrifice, on what you do, on how you do it for God's glory. And he wants his life to be poured into you. He wants to stir you with the ladle of excitement, friends. He wants you to be happy about every day in life. He gave you the gift. Today is a gift. So I tell people every day is Christmas Day, isn't it? Well, that's my birthday too, but every day is Christmas Day because it's the present. You get to open it up. It's the present. It's the here and now. It's right where God is with you. And he's wanting you to sprout and bloom forth and bring forth fruit. And that's the right thing to do. The right way at the right time for God's glory. Where are you, friends? Your service must come out of your faith. Not out of you have to. I've met a lot of folks. They're very good people, and they're very involved, but they have this have to mentality. The Bible doesn't teach me that the right way at the right time for the right reason is a have to. The Bible says it's a want to. Now here it is. God wants your want to, not your have to. You will most likely do what you want to do, won't you? Even above what you have to do. You may get the have to do done, but you'll do what you want to do first. God wants your want to. When he has your want to, then that's the right reason in which you're doing it for. You're doing it for God's glory, for his honor. He says that we are to come together. We are to desire to do things for him. It should be the desires of our hearts. If it comes out of anything else, we can't rejoice. Point to the Father. Point to Holy God Almighty. And there's one thing that's kind of been jumping out at me this year since I retired from the active pastorate, was that on the very first week I got out of ministry on 31st of December, January 4th, I ended up in the hospital for 5 days. Overworked, overstressed, gut just locked up, man. And as I was sitting there and thinking about that, it was COVID, nobody could come and see you. My wife had to drop me off at the front door, picked me up 5 days later, didn't have any time. But one of the students that I had worked with and trained as chaplain, he was the chaplain there for that week, and he was at my bedside morning and evening. And we began to talk about things and helped him through his chaplaincy, as I'd served in the National Guard as chaplain for 22 years, too. And one thing that jumped out at us when we were reading the scripture was a phrase called one another. That's us, united to serve. One another. 58 times in the New Testament alone, that phrase, one another, in other words, united, come together, is mentioned. Paul uses it. Jesus uses it over and over and over again. One another. Jesus said, love one another. No matter what our differences, our diversities are, we are to love one another. Above all, Jesus said, love one another. So when it's us, when we're united to serve, when we're all on the same page of love, God's love, things will happen, friends. Things will happen right here at Simpsonville Baptist Church as you begin a new program here in a couple of months when you break ground. The thing that you've been putting off because it wasn't the right time. God knew it. We're caught in a pandemic and the building program, if you will, just kind of stopped for a moment, but it was God's timing. It's God's timing. And you begin to pray that God's timing will continue to work, that everything, I encourage you to pray for every worker that's going to be working on your facility. Because I'll guarantee you some of them aren't very united. They don't have any identity at all. And you start praying for each one of those workers as they're working on a church. Just the builders, start praying for them right where you are. You start praying for that person, that individual. And you start doing it today because it's the right time. We are to pray without ceasing, the Bible says. What does that mean? That means every word, every action, every thought that you do should be an offering to the Lord. I mean, everything in life, I mean, everything you do, everything you look at, is that honoring God? Is that the right reason to do it? When you do that, friends, you will find things change in your world because you're going to be in God's world and for His glory. Now, let me ask you another question. Paul opens that chapter with four questions. Some translations will give you the question, but mostly it's just kind of a statement. But if you look at that very first verse, he says, so you belong to Christ. You identified for Christ. Has it helped you in any of your ways? Has love ever comforted you? That's what Paul says in the first verse. Are you sharing anything in common because of the Holy Spirit? Oh yeah, we all got on the same page. We're united to serve. And then the fourth question, Paul says, has Christ ever been gentle and loving toward you? That's how he begins that chapter. Oh my goodness. Paul was saying that when one person comes to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, guess what happens in heaven? Do you know that? Y'all know that? There's a 4th of July in heaven. The Bible says that when one soul comes into the presence of holy God, there's a party that is going on. And guess who might be responsible for that party if you did the right thing the right way at the right time for the right reason? It might be you. And how are you going to do it the same way Jesus did? Come follow me. Do you live a life that you could say that to somebody? Come follow me. That's your stuff you got to deal with. The Holy Spirit will bring you together and He will give you opportunity to be of service. Jesus wants you to follow his way. Matter of fact, in John, the 14th chapter, he says, I am the way and the what? Truth and the life. Oh, you knew that, didn't you? Let's practice it. Get on the right way. Do it in his time for his reason. Why would you want to trade your life for something that's going to pass away? Why do you want to identify with anything else except with Christ? He's going to be here. He was here, is here, and going to be here forever. Everything else will change. Look how things have changed in the last 50 years. In 1973, I had the opportunity for that summer to be in Washington, D.C. I had some press credentials. I almost got arrested there during Nixon's trial. I followed the TV cables all the way in. I was standing right, from here to about the restroom, from the main stage where Nixon was being impeached. And all of a sudden, I got tapped on the shoulder by a security guard and said, how did you get in here? Well, I had to explain, I'm a college student. I'm here through the senator's office. I'm a little page here. Talked my way out of it. But that same year was what was going on just across the way with the Supreme Court and its ruling. How ironic, huh? Impeachment, same year, Roe versus way back on the... Oh, impeachment, Mike? Hey, it's in God's hands. Don't worry about it. He is in control. Maybe you're here and you've been a church member for a long time and you've just never sprouted. Today's the day for you to sprout. Can I tell you that membership don't save you? Pastor Steve has said, I've heard him say that already. Just because you're identified with a church is not your salvation. You have to be identified with Christ, and that church serves Christ his way in his time. Remember when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration? He had just been up there with Peter, James, and John. And who else was there? Moses and Elijah. Their faces were glowing, friends. It was incredible. And then he walks down out of that transfiguration, and there are his other disciples, and what are they doing? Remember that story? Trying to cast out evil spirits out of someone. And they came to Jesus and said, Jesus, we've been doing it. We've done it the way you do it. How does it happen? How do things change? And you know what he said? He said, it happens when you're united in prayer. Things change because of prayer. You all want peace in the world? The Bible says that if you do the right thing the right way at the right time for the right reason, that's called rightness. And when we start doing rightness, peace comes. Peace never comes unless it's the right time. You start doing rightness in your home, in your job, in whatever you're doing in life. You stop and think, am I doing the right thing? If I'm not doing the right thing, stop. Am I doing the right thing the right way? If I'm not doing it the right way, stop. Am I doing the right thing the right way at the right time? If it's not the right time, hold on to it for a while. It might just be the right time. I've held on to things for 50 years, and then all of a sudden, dropped it in. It was the right time. But most of all, it's got to be for the right reason. If you're not doing it for the right reason, you just got your glory. It stops right there. Do it for the glory of God. Run everything through that matrix, everything in your life. And that happens with prayer. I trust that as we begin this building program, that there'll be times when every one of you will have opportunity to come and pray for the workers, for the staff of this church. There's lots of transitions that are going to take place because it's the right timing now. And we want to make sure that this church does it for the right reason. And you got to be a part of that. We're all on the same page. We got to be in constant prayer. when I was, my dad was a pastor, and so we often visited people. And when I was 14 years old, I had an encounter that really, really changed my life. And out of that encounter as a 14-year-old, I wrote a poem. And I had to do it for an English class, and so I turned it in, and the teacher caught me just before I was getting on the bus because she read my poem. And she goes, "Raymond," that's what I was then. My dad's name was Wayman. I'm Raymond because my mother had her dentures out. Thank God that was my first gift. You know me as Way Hayes instead of Ray Hayes. She pulled me off the bus and she took me over there and she said, "This poem, you know, I'm also the 4-H director, and would you say this poem tomorrow in class?" I said, "Well, yes." And the bus driver was waiting for me, and so I was like, I was really scared. I'm talking about all my peers in my class. Oh, I prayed, "Lord, lead me in the right way. Let me do it for your glory and honor." So I did this little poem I'm going to do for you. Well, she picked it up. Make a long story short, I went to the state 4-H oratory contest. Won first prize that year with this little poem. Now, that's 50 years ago. Oh, my goodness. More than that, maybe. We won't count. Let me tell you this poem, and then you let the Spirit lead you. There she laid, 24 long years. Struck down in the prime of her youth, 1 year and a day after her wedding day. She never knew the joy of patting a boy upon the head and sending him off to play. She just laid there upon her bed, never moved her head. Not a word she said. As I stood beside the door, her eyes met mine as mine meet yours. And they seemed to say, "Come here. Come here. Come here, my dear." And as I went and sat down upon the side of the bed, the weight of my body caused her immovable arm to fall against the side of my thigh. And I felt those cold chills of death shimmer up my spine. Yes, death warmed over. Down deep in her voice, a one-syllable roaring, easily understood as the word "prayer." And there, both bowed our heads. Not a word was said until I heard a faint "Amen." And then she looked at me, and I at her. Her face glowed like a kerosene lamp when a clear, crystal clean globe is placed about its flame. Her face glowed. And then her eyes, they just seemed to say, "Go on, go on, go on, my child, go on out and pray. When you're playing, pray." Would you bow your heads? Would you take a moment just to let the Holy Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit to come? Right where you are. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 75 years, 100 years. It doesn't matter. Are you still doing the right thing the right way? At the right time? For the right reason? You settle that right there at the altar of your own heart right now before Holy God. The Holy Spirit is with you as he was that day when I was 14. You settle it. Father God, these are your children of light. They've been doing the right things. The right ways for your glory. Father, we ask you just to bless them right now. If you're here and you have your cell phones, I want you to just take out your cell phone right now. Yeah, the preacher's asking you to take your cell phone out. I want you to just silently, right where you are, think of somebody that you've been praying for. If you have your cell phone, and just say, "I was in church today, I prayed for you. Just like Mrs. Roy Becknell prayed for me, even though she could only speak a couple of words, it's never left my memory because I understood the power of doing the right thing the right way at the right time for the right reason. Pray for that. Maybe you're here and you just need to do some old-time knee bending. There's chairs up here. Brother Steve, Brother Billy's going to be up here to assist you. I'll be here. Maybe you need to just come and just pray things through. Lord, I've been doing the right thing. I've been doing it the wrong way. Maybe it was the wrong reason. Father, help me run it through the matrix. Father, I pray for every person here, listening online, right here in the auditorium, wherever they are, that you will give them the clarity they need to be of service. This is us united to serve. Father, help us deal through it. Because we're praying for you. Listen to these words as you're texting your text.
Somebody's praying. I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe somebody's praying for me.
Brother Billy, would you come? Maybe you just need somebody to help you direct that prayer. They're here now. Listen to these words. Listen.
Angels are watching, I can feel them. Angels are watching over me. There's many miles ahead till I get home. Still I'm safely kept before your throne. Lord, angels are watching over me. While I've walked the barren wilderness, where my pillow was a stone, and I've been through the darkest caverns, where no light has ever shone, still I went on, 'cause there was someone who was down. For those people praying all this time for me. Somebody's praying. I can feel. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. And Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying for me.
you texted somebody, don't ask them. Let them come to you and say, hey, I got your text. What does that mean? Don't you ask them, did you get my text? Holy Spirit, take care of that. You start praying for people. God will do the rest. Brother Steve.